KRC on demand.
This is the 55 KRC Morning Show with Jerry and Craig. Listen to Jerry and Craig weekdays
5 till 9 a.m.
on 55 KRC, the talk station.
It's 808 at 55 KRC. This is the Morning Show. It's a Thursday. I'm Jerry Thomas.
I am Craig Kopp.
And we welcome our guest. He is Amin Bouchentouf, and he is a native speaker from Casablanca, Morocco. Has taught and lectured on Arabic at Middlebury College, ABC Language Exchange, Council of Foreign Relations, and has a book out now called Arabic for Dummies?
And yes.
We qualify.
We qualify on every count there. Amin, welcome to the show. And
Thanks for having me.
Let me ask you first off, when you hear people say Arabic language now, how does that differ from Lebanese, Syrian, Iraqi, etc., or is it all the same?
Yes, that's a very good question. There's an overarching language that's called Arabic, and it's the standard throughout the Middle East. So the countries that you mentioned is a form of Arabic known as Modern Standard Arabic, or MSA. And then every different country and every region in the Middle East has a dialect that's based on MSA. So it's similar to English, where you have different dialects, whether it's people in the Northeast here in the U.S. or in the South or in California or even, you know, English in Great Britain. So it's the languages of the language are the same. The rules are the same, except it's a different dialect.
Now, Arabic is, I've always heard, one of the most difficult languages for English speakers to learn. Why is that?
For several reasons. Actually, the State Department qualifies it as the hardest language in the world for English speakers, right on par with Chinese. And one of the biggest obstacles to English speakers picking up the language is certainly the alphabet. There's 28 letters, but it reads from right to left, and you have to learn a whole new script. So that's one obstacle. Another obstacle is really the sounds that are inherent in Arabic language. Some of the more exotic sounds they produce at the back of the throat, like ra or ha or qaf. These are like sounds that are more challenging to produce.
So, as I understand it, there are 12,000 FBI agents, and only 33 of them speak Arabic
at all.
And some don't even have an idea of it. That puts us in a pretty bad position, especially when a lot of the terrorists speak that language.
Well, I think in terms of the federal government, I think there needs to be a lot more done to improve Arabic speaking programs. I think, certainly folks like at the FBI and other federal agencies that are supposed to protect us here, that should be something that's a requirement. I think. For folks to be learning Arabic. And I know President Bush signed a language initiative program early in the year for about $115 million to introduce Arabic and improve Arabic. So I think while that's a good first step, a lot more should be done.
Now, you've written a book called Arabic for Dummies, and I'm going to guess that the purpose of this would be jumpstart people into at least a rudimentary ability to somehow communicate in Arabic, or do I assume wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct on that point. This is my second book on Arabic. My first one was for Random House, and it was more technical, kind of more for the advanced student. I wanted to do Arabic for Dummies in order to take the edge off learning the language. And so kind of, it doesn't have to be intimidating or daunting and that challenging. So, you know, with the Four Dummies series, that certainly helps a lot. And, I think not only is it aimed for folks at the government who want to learn the language for, you know, practical reasons, i.e. to protect us, but also for folks that do business in the Middle East or people that are just curious. Some of the things I talk about in the book are also like cultural, and there's a lot of things that are lost in translation, so to speak. So anyone who has an interest in the region, wants to understand a little bit more about what the people, how they talk, how they think, some of the customs, you know, I would encourage them to check out the book because you'll certainly learn a lot of things that you might not have known.
And you can probably get around a Lebanese restaurant a lot easier, too, looking at the menu. Words like tawouk and kofta, you know, you're talking chicken and steak there. Can you give us some examples of what everyday things are called in Arabic? For instance, a car. What would the word be for that?
Yeah, car would be sayara.
Sayara?
Sayara, yeah. And I noticed you have a pretty good accent. You roll the R's, which is good.
My best friend is Lebanese.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I know all the curse words. But I can't order a meal, but I know all the curse words.
That's the first thing everybody learns when they try to learn a new language, yeah, is how to curse.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. Now, how about radio? What would that be in Arabic?
You can actually say radio.
Radio?
Radio. That's pretty popular. But, you know, the classical way of saying is media.
Media. Oh, I see. Well, there is the reason I ask you. I took Spanish when I went to high school and in college, and there were a lot of words that were pretty obvious, like automobile, which is, you know, car. So there are similarities in Arabic as when you compare to vis-a-vis to English, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people might be surprised to know that words like alcohol, like the word alcohol originated from the Arabic. Alcohol, and you know, words like coffee comes from qahwa, which is another word in Arabic. Even words like magazine comes from a word in Arabic, mahazin, which means like a storage place. And you know, what's a magazine but like a storage place, you know, filled with papers. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of words. You know, candy. It's actually a word that originates in Arabic, admiral, which is Amir al-Bahr, which means Lord of the Sea, is another word that comes from Arabic. So certainly Arabic and English have influenced each other throughout the centuries. And, you know, some of the words that every day, you know, we use every day actually originate in Arabic.
And they are responsible for a lot of art and not only language across the country or the world, are they not?
What do you mean?
The Arab countries, a lot of art as well as the language. It transfers to other countries.
Yes, absolutely. In terms of you know, poetry, and I mean Arabic poetry, for example, is I have students that learn Arabic language just for the poetry, because it's so beautiful and they find it very fulfilling. And there's a lot of art that comes out of the region right now. And you know, there's a lot of programs here in the U.S. That promote cultural exchanges, and I think that's a good way to kind of you know, help bring together two regions that I care about very much, which is the U.S. and the Middle East. But that you know, that there's a communication breakdown between the two regions. But I think if you know, people start learning the language here in the U.S. and you know, I do outreach programs in the Middle East as well to explain America and to the folks over there. I think, you know, I can help bridge that gap.
Yeah. Real quickly here, when you watch media reports and they're quoting Arabic translations, are they fairly accurate in your mind, or are you know, when we see something that's being translated and you're seeing the actual language, are the translations fairly accurate?
I would say the majority, yes. Okay. There are times where you know, something might not be accurate. There's a lot of issues with pronunciation, I've noticed, and perhaps one of the most glaring one is, you know, over the words Sunni and Shiite. You know, as you know, a lot of people say Shiite, whereas I'm not sure where that originated, who started that, but in Arabic, Shia is a Shia, which would mean you would write it and pronounce it S-H-I-A-H, so Shia. I'm not sure who added the I-T-E.
Well, somebody that called Parisians parasites. Yeah, no, that's the same thing there. Yeah. The book is called Arabic for Dummies, and it's written by Amin Bushentov. I said it right the second time.
Yeah, you got it.
And it's available in bookstores and online. And, Amin, thank you for the lessons today, and we'll see if we can get our minds wrapped around Arabic next, okay?
Terrific. Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.